Hey, Roberto, how you doing?
Doing good. Audacity? Or are we on the air?
We are
Oh, did
recording.
it shows off air. That's why for me.
Oh, well,
This is why.
wait. But Roberto, then do I have your ear? Well, all right, you're not God, so you can't predict what I'm trying to get at. But yes, we are talking House of Cards, season 3, episode 4, or chapter 20, or chapter 30. No, actually, we're not going to talk about the whole entire episode. I think since you're kind of like in the mix, on the road. No, well, you're not on the road, but you're
Story short,
playing with.
the long part, shortly after I had Jackie on my other podcast, my so-called 8-Bit Life, my hard drive decided to fail on the Mac. It had been failing already, but I thought I had one more week, and no, I didn't. It hardcore failed. And so it's currently in the shop there at the Apple Store. This is why you buy AppleCare, people. Kind of in a weird recording situation. We'll talk about the full episode later. We're probably going to combine it with a couple other ones because there seems to be a lot of like story track that kind of goes through, and Jackie's going to go back and figure it out. But
People who would be listening. I don't think they need us to break down every episode. I think that as much as we can combine the threads, as we've
yeah,
discussed different
I
times.
totally agree. But I didn't want this portion to go out. I didn't want necessarily us in the midst of talking about the other threads and things like that to lose what I think is the most important scene out of this episode, which is just the main story threads that we'll see continue on and on. But it's that last scene that I adored. Go quickly describe the scene, Jackie, because
Well,
you
okay, so
have those notes there.
sure. Basically, Frank, he's kind of conflicted. He's very conflicted about this reaction towards his, basically, as we know in previous episodes, he allowed a strike in an area where it ended up killing Lee, Mahoon family, Mahoon. This went to on trial, and they were debating is about whether or not the president's office should release secret information in order to understand why the drone strike was allowed at that time and caused those civilian injuries. So he's very conflicted. He meets with this guy, and the guy in the White House says, "Mr. President, I will never forgive you for this. I know you're looking at for me for forgiveness, and I can never forgive you no matter what you say." Frank pulls out the Quran, tries to read some passages, and he says, "Even though you've picked up some passages of the Quran,"
Yeah.
he goes into the church. He wants some time to pray to God. What was going on there with you? What do you think this was about?
So kind of quickly, he acts like he's conflicted. He tries to understand God, Jesus Christ and everything else.
You mean?
And it he's the only one that's chosen. He's that.
You can't. You're serving God. You're
Right.
not.
Spitting on the Christ, saying, "Love, I don't buy it," ends up breaking the thing. But that's not what I want to talk about. I mean, it's powerful. It's damn.
Oh, yeah.
We're not following the protagonist's story. We're following the antagonist of the story. What I mean by that is that we're following a. So every good villain, every good bad, a tragic flaw. Usually
Right.
have haters, we as the outside people can see that if they had just gone the other way, everything would be fine. If they had just turned left as opposed to turning right, all this would have been avoided. One of the classic characters in literature, and I say literature even in the Bible. The Bible really doesn't go into this, to be honest. That being the character of Satan or the devil. A lot of people have the idea of devil being this evil character, this sort of, his dominion is the earth and all that stuff. I won't go into too much religion, but one of the English literature is John Milton's Paradise Lost. I'm trying to avoid all this terminology because I don't want to offend anybody in any religion that they're part of. But that's where we get the whole concept of Satan being a fallen angel, being this
Right.
character that. baby ones? Why are they your best creations? Why are this that? And very much a parallel in this scene to that. Like I've always resented calling Frank Underwood the devil and Satan, because I always feel that implies something that a lot of people don't quite know, because a lot of people really read John Milton or have a copy of Erevangelica in their living room like I do.
I mean, I guess most of us college graduates with a liberal arts degree.
But
I mean, have read it, but no, it's not something we have on our bedside table, I hope.
Well, you know, that it's something entirely different thing than what I'm trying to say. And I always try to avoid that when I talk about Frank Underwood. But I can't avoid it anymore, because this is way too much of a parallel. This is way too much of a parallel. It's so apparent that we have a fallen angel-like character. We have that because he's always conflicted talking with God. He's always conflicted with these ideas of him, because he's the chosen one. No one else is.
Right.
And it's so much like that entire scene, like, illustrates it more than any other scene in the entire series that happened. I was like, damn, like, I knew exactly what they were doing when the Christ bust fell, when he spit on that is all Lucifer. That is all Satan. That is every bit of that fallen angel character. And it's so amazing when you see it and kind of the parallel.
I think this is something that has been a thread of this show from the very beginning. God, was it season one where he is and he talks to God and then he looks down?
He says there's no solace above, there's no solace below.
He looks down and the camera.
The thing is my mind, like, well, he just lives in the present. And then I was reminded again, thinking about the idea of what people say. In religion, especially in Christian religion specifically, Catholicism, mm-hmm. the concept is that the earth is the dominion of the devil or Satan. In other words, like, he doesn't have control. Everyone has free will and all that stuff. But they say, and though you're damned in hell if you do this, you live out your sins on earth, so to speak. And until this episode, like, I've always resented saying that, because I know what that implies to people who don't quite, who aren't as versed in not just the Bible, but in terms of other literature, other thoughts, discussion. But this is, he is very much the fallen, he essentially is the devil, but not in the way that you think. In the way that if you were to read Paradise Lost right now and follow that story and go for it, it is such a parallel. Especially that scene. That scene really cemented it for me that this is where that character comes from. And only because, you know, had he just like looked at Jesus and walked away, I wouldn't have thought it. It was the fact that he spit, that he consciously did an action, that he consciously, you know, did a very, very disgraceful, you know, action, mm-hmm. Religious action that cemented it. Like, it was action of doing. He had to clean it up because he's like, well, I don't want anyone to find it. And then it breaks. And like, that was the whole, like, I was just cleaning something up.
I was surprised to a degree that he cleaned it up, because I feel like this far along in the story, you know, I would definitely expect that from Frank season one, but I didn't kind of expect that now.
He's cleaning up because he doesn't want anyone to know, like, this crazy cover-up. And that's basically what it was. Like, had he not spit, I might have not been saying these sort of things. But because he spit, but because he did that action, that is such a Lucifer action. That is such a character. And I say character in the terms of Paradise Lost. That is such in that character of the idea of, say, of questioning God, of questioning, why is this person the chosen one versus me?
Is on earth. Why does he care whether or not he's got the ear of God? You know, I mean, this makes sense that he's looking at himself as a Satan on earth. So it's through that voice. He is talking, kind of justifying. Like, this is not a conversation of rational people.
In Paradise Lost, like, his really tragic flaw is he tries to talk with God,
mm-hmm.
but because he can't communicate with him anymore, he's lost that ability. And that's sort of, you know, in the he's constantly trying to address God from his dominion of hell. Because again, that's the idea of Lucifer. He's a fallen angel. He's a person that questioned certain things, had an issue with that and left and that. And so it became very apparent, especially this one, just by that action, just by the way it was worded and how it's been like, oh shit. I mean, cause I'd always wanted to, I realized what censored that out. I apologize. I always had that thought of that. Mm-hmm. And I'd always been very, very cautious in saying that because I knew nobody else would see it that way or would
think. Why? How? Because
when I say like I was cautious about saying the devil is because I know not a lot of people that
kind of the influence that something like Paradise Lost has had on.
Like I was talking
culture or rewriting since it's
like I was talking to my mother. I brought up the idea of, I said, so I go, what's the history of Satan? You know, what's the history of the devil? And she goes and kind of rattles off the whole Paradise Lost. I go, so what part of the Bible defines that? And she goes, how to define the Bible is defined in Paradise Lost. And that's become part of our structure of belief. If you ask anybody, it's like, you know, that knows something about the Eucharist, it's like, yeah, the devil, he's a fallen angel. And it's just like, do you know where that came from? But I had never thought about it until then. I mean, I'd had it in the back of my mind, and I never really it always felt like, no, but that's me being too simplistic. That's me being too this. It can't just be that. And that action cemented it. That action entirely cemented it. Sitting right there on the crucifix with Jesus hanging from it. If it had not been, I think crucifix actually is what does that? If it had not been for that spit, if it had not been for that completely blasphemous action, Frank just doesn't like God, whatever, being Frank. But because he took the time, the little time, the pause, to just spit in the face of God, you know, if you take the idea of in Catholic religion that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is the human representative, God himself on earth. God himself.
Right.
That is so...
That's a very... I didn't quite pick up that he really saw Jesus as God.
Well, that's what the bishop set up, well, all of those things.
And then earlier where, you know, Jesus is not God, but when it was, I think the whole picking up the ear and walking off with it and saying, I have the ear of God now, I think that was exactly, you're exactly right, saying that this... I am talking to God. I'm not talking just to, you know, Jesus. People or some religions don't interpret as God directly. But yeah, yep. No. Yep.
And so,
sorry, go ahead.
That's all I have to say. But ultimately, that's it. Like, I could keep reiterating the point, and I think we'll keep circling around it. I'm sure that no matter what we went and talking about anything else in the episode, because I know that. That to me was a very important scene, and it makes me put Frank in an entirely different light than it has before.
How?
Because now I'm certain. Now I'm certain exactly of things, and the idea that now that I know
what
who he is, a lot of his flaws and stuff, but now I truly understand who Frank is. And what Frank has become. And Judd jokingly always said that once Frank is president, that's it, you know, game over, you know, the world's about to end. I never quite believed that until now.
Are you sure? Okay. No, go, because I want more clarification and delight to where you think
that's it. You can clarify.
If you know this about him, you know.
I mean, if he's Satan, it's got to come down crashing hard. I mean, that's just what happens. That's sort of what happens to the, you know, during the wars. That's when, you know, the Gabriel trumpet. I'm not saying it's going to come crashing down. That was a joke. More so apparent of like, it is going to come down because that's just what happens to our main protagonist in Paradise Lost. And if Frank Underwood is truly and honestly the devil, in terms of a literary sense, not necessarily a literal sense, then yeah, that's the only thing I see it. I only see it all coming crashing down. I don't know how, I don't know why, but it all will come crashing down in a big bad way. And I had never it never clicked until that moment that's who I'm dealing with.
You know, Roberto, I'm so tickled pink by this whole conversation. I like it, and I wish I kept time with you about this. Because I have a lot of questions I want to go back throughout the entire series. So maybe what we can do is we can maybe wrap this up right now and just make this a quick little short segment. But I think let's carry this on because you really nailed it here on and I think that it would be really nice to kind of when the time is appropriate to kind of come back to this.
I'll probably officially go back and read Paradise Lost. A lot of it's coming back from memory, so I have to kind of...
That's actually why I... Extension, is that I'm like, okay, well, I know that he's, like, on Earth, and I know this, you know, I mean... I quickly brought up a wiki just to kind of have it over on the side, because I know exactly what you're getting at, and I think you're spot on. So, let's...
relating it cards to English culture.
Church on the house, if it had an influence on the original, but that's the thing about Paradise Lost is that it definitely influences almost every.
Oh yeah, very classic piece of literature. If you've never ever read Paradise Lost, John Milton, go ahead and find a copy. It's under public domain. You could probably get it on Project Gutenberg without. I read it at least some John Milton.
Creation class that I took when I started taking film history, they definitely were like you.
Never want. Even just The Devil's Advocate. It really does also show a little bit of that, but it does also have a lot of Paradise Lost in it. It actually really does, because the point of like where to the end kind of thing, like, you know, we get revealed that. I won't spoil the movie. I mean, it's an old movie, but still. But that's also that character and how that can work out. And it's, you know, it's a lot of things borrow from that literature, because it's a very classic piece of literature. It's a very it is a quintessential thing. And if you ever want to read something awesome, definitely read Paradise Lost.
Well,
it's Lost.
Well, I really enjoyed this 20-25 minutes that we've shortened this down to. But I mean, I think it was perfect. I think this really sets the tone for how we should address the rest of the season.
Sure, totally.
Not into the show. And you nailed it, sir. Kudos to you. Things I heard that you mentioned earlier on that you might have interviewed someone who makes puppets recently on a
on the one of the latest episodes of 8-Bit Life that you can catch there at cosmicradio.tv/8-Bit Life. So if you ever want to hear kind of Jackie talking about podcasting, puppet creation, and sort of the ID of the internet,
DJM as well.
Of course, that you can hear the plugs for things like that. But of course, you can find me.
Seriously, Cosmic Radio TV. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, if you can catch all that stuff there, and of course, follow me on Twitter. I'm at Vincent404. What about you, Jackie?
Jackie81 on Twitter. That's pretty simple, and you can find everything I do. All right, I'll talk to you next week, and we're gonna have some guests on really soon too.
Yes,
I'm gonna get. I'm wrangling.
It. Oh, it'd be so great to have.
I know. People. All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.